In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I need to draw your attention to a very special event coming soon to a house of worship near you. Well, for some of you, it's not really near you, but close enough. Y'all should know by now that we are going to have a Christmas Day service here at 10 o'clock. We'll welcome the baby Jesus with Christmas carols and prayer and a short meditation and maybe share some of our Christmas toys if you bring them. Well, you don't have to share them, like I'll keep them, but too often in our culture tells us that Christmas is just for families and football. This culture bias often blinds us to our responsibility to worship God on this second, yes, the second most holy day of the Christian year. I've already told you before, I remember when our children were young, they got up before 6 o'clock, and by 9 o'clock everybody was looking for something new to do. And when our children finally spent Christmas Day at their own homes, Don and I still get up and still by 9 o'clock had nothing to do and were looking for something to do, so there's no real reason why you can't come and worship on Christmas Day at 10 o'clock. So this year, be selfish. Make this Christmas Day a Christmas Day for just families and a little football, but Jesus also. Come casual, flannel shirts, jeans, whatever. Kids, bring a Christmas toy that you can tell us all about, how long you've wanted it, what it really does, how to play it. But y'all come. Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from Micah chapter 5. I know that's Old Testament, but why don't I hear any pages rustling? Micah chapter 5. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clan of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be a ruler over Israel, whose goings out are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth over all his people, and he will be their peace. Now the time is the 8th century before Christ's birth. The place is Judah, which was commonly referred to as the Southern Kingdom. Assyria had come to pass as a world military and political power. In fact, Assyria had successfully invaded the northern kingdom, Israel, destroying homes and villages and families and cities, taking the surviving people off into exile. From Israel, the Assyrian army moved southward into Judah and carried out several campaigns there. Their goal was to expand their empire right down into Egypt. And of course, that meant going through Judah. Now, the people of Judah were living in a dark and menacing cloud. The future looked very bleak. As the war went on, more and more people were killed, homes and possessions destroyed, relationships broken. The people of Judah, so they thought, were on the brink of destruction. But in the midst of this situation, God sends a prophet named Micah. Micah criticized Judah's moral and social decay. In his sermons, he railed against the worship of idols, warning the people of the tragic consequences of their apostasy. In addition to this, Micah, though, promised that God still loved his people, and he offered them hope for the future. It's a theme of God's love. It is this theme of God's love, and the hope that we focus on now, this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent. In the midst of the people crying out in despair, there's no hope. There is no tomorrow for Judah. We are lost and doomed. In the midst of that, Micah comes preaching a message of good news, offering Judah God's love, offering Judah God's hope and God's deliverance. Sitting on the ash heaps covered with the soot and smoke from the smoldering homes and burned dreams, Micah the prophet came sharing hope and love. He said, "From Bethlehem shall come forth a king who is to be the ruler of Israel, whose origin is from of old, from the Ancient of Days." Why Bethlehem? That's the last great leader, David, a reminder of him. The people of Judah had seen many kings crowned and anointed, and all of them had become corrupt and had failed. And so this new king of the future, will he be any better? And besides, it might be too late for a king anyway, since it looks as if Assyria was going to destroy us. We're doomed. What hope do we have against such a powerful enemy? Such was the line of thought of many of the people in Judah. But Micah is saying of this king, "And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." He tells the people that they will go into exile, yes, for a time. But he also tells them, the exiles, the remnant of Israel, will return and join their Israelite kindred back in the homeland. Micah saying, yes, we have to face some of the dark and difficult times that are ahead of us. However, it's only a matter of time. There is still hope for us in the future of God's love, and that will prevail. No matter how grim our present situation looks, don't lose hope for the future. Don't forget that God still loves us. Micah is saying, even to us today, even while you experience and face the greatest darkness, God is working to provide a better future for you and for your nation. God will send you a deliverer. He will come from the least expected place. He will seem like the least likely sort of to rule over you, to bring you relief. You shall be given your freedom. He shall deliver you from your enemies, protect you and feed you. And he shall usher in, and his kingdom is where everyone will live in peace and security. Keep your hope in him alive. Don't forget that he will act to demonstrate his great love for you. Well, as Micah delivered God's word to a people in distress, giving them reason to hope in their future, so we hope in our future as we see Jesus as the deliverer that God has sent and will send again to deliver God's people. Newspaper columnist and minister George Crane tells of a wife who came into his office full of hatred toward her husband. "I don't only want to get rid of him," she said. "I want to get even. Before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he hurt me." Well, Dr. Crane suggested an ingenious plan. He told this woman, "Go home and act as if you really love your husband. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait that he has. Go out of your way to be as kind and considerate and generous as possible. Spare no effort to please him, to enjoy him. Make him believe that you love him. And then after you've convinced him of your undying love and that you cannot live without him, then drop the bomb and tell him that you want a divorce. That'll really hurt him. Well, with revenge in her eyes, and I see some of you got a little twinkle in your eye now. With revenge in her eyes, she said, "That is beautiful. I will do as you say. Will he ever be surprised?" And with that, she left with enthusiastic vigor, acting as if. Well, 2 months went by, and she showed love and kindness, listening and giving and reinforcing and sharing toward her husband. And when she didn't return, Dr. Crane called her and said, "Are you ready to go through with a divorce?" "Divorce," she exclaimed. "Never. I discovered that I really do love him." Her actions had changed her feelings. Motion resulted in emotion. The ability to love is established not so much in fervent promise as often as through repeated deeds. This too is the message that we need to hear and take to heart. Even in our darkest despair, our experiences of living in exile, of struggle to see hope for the future and God's love in the present, even through all of that, we trust that God is working out a new and better future for us, and that his love will not give us up. We may have to face the full consequences of our defeats and our exiles, just as the people of Judah did in their day. Nonetheless, we are an Advent people. We are a people of hope and love. And being touched by God's love, we can love others. In remembering God's people of old, we trust that there is hope for us too. Just as Micah promised a coming king of Israel who would be great to the ends of the earth, so we, like the people of Judah, wait for this coming king, Jesus, our Messiah. One of the most beautiful stories in literature is the French classic, The Little Prince. There are two lines that have an Advent and Christmas message in them. The fox says to the little prince at one point, "Now, if you will come at 4 o'clock, I shall begin to be happy at 3. Now, this is the story of Advent. This is also where the expression "the happy hour" came from, not from 60 minutes in which to get intoxicated before dinner. It is the happy hour of waiting in hope and expectation, remembering God's love for us and the world by sending us Jesus. That's what Advent involves. Happily waiting for our Lord and Savior, knowing that he is coming. This message of Advent hope and expectation, of God's all-embracing love, is for everyone. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. It doesn't matter what your situation is. God gives us hope and bids us rejoice this happy hour of Advent as we expectantly wait for Jesus Christ coming to us, to each one of us. Spread his love around everywhere that you go and with everyone that you meet. And as we wait for Christmas Day and it comes with all the hope and peace and joy and love that God will bring, remember, as December 26th arrives, that we will still be waiting for Christ to come. As we celebrate this Advent Sunday of love, my prayer is that you know the love that Christ has for you, and that you know the joy that comes from sharing that love with others. Amen.